Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for giving me the opportunity to talk with my church family, Lord. And Lord, as we just read this scripture passage, I ask that you make things clear to us, God, that you show us things that we would never have gotten out of it if you weren't here, if you weren't the one teaching. God, I ask that you hide me behind the cross, that Jesus is uplifted and he draws all men unto himself. Lord, make me less and less and become greater and greater. Thank you so much for being with us this morning and being the one to lead out. I thank you and praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray this. Amen. All right. So welcome to the Farmington SDA Church. We are very happy to have you guys via Skype. And I hope this church Skype isn't like my Skype, where it freezes halfway through and my dad laughs a minute after my jokes. I hope it's nice and clear, and I pray that the Lord blesses us each. All right, so as we go over Philippians 4, 1 through 7, and as I was studying this week, I was reading it, and I got kind of excited because I noticed something. I noticed that Paul and I share something in common. We have something in common. And I don't know, I just felt like it's Paul. I mean, I have something in common with Paul. And I mean, it's not spreading the gospel. We both have that in common. And we both love God. But there was something else that I pulled out of this chapter 4. Paul loves to give advice. Have you ever noticed this in any of his letters to any of these different churches? They're packed full of advice for us. And I thought, that's me too. I love to give advice. I hate it when somebody finishes speaking and I don't have something amazing to say at the end of it. And so I love to give advice. I love to help people. I think it's because I want them to realize how great God is. And I want them to place the situation in his hands and just tons of stuff. So I noticed Paul and I give advice. And Philippians chapter 4 is full of advice for us. And Paul starts off giving advice to these two ladies. Well, actually, he starts off in verse 4. If you're not there in your Bibles, pick your Bibles up, open to Philippians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, my beloved, longed-for brethren, my crown and joy, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So first off, he starts like, I long for you, I love you, you're my crown, you're my joy. Only God can give us a love like that for one another. So he starts off, and he's always joyful, always happy, and then he starts in giving advice, what Paul is really good at. And so he says, I employ you, Euodia, and I employ Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companions, help these women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of the fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. So we see this. He tells these two ladies to be of the same mind. So there's obviously something going on here. They're not getting along. That's kind of what I get about it. You know, if brothers, sisters, help these ladies out. They labored with me. Their names are written in the book of life. And he says they need your help. So if I was to, like, boil this down to one thing, it would be, like, help these sisters out. That's what he wants. He wants these sisters to be of the same mind. Well, why is it so important to even be of the same mind? What does it even mean to be of the same mind? Does it mean that you're the same on every single thought? I don't think so. Not necessarily. If you turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So all Christians should have the same mind because God asks us to have the same mind as Christ. And then you read on, it says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So if I was to sum that up, he was an obedient servant, loving Jesus. Be like Jesus. Have the same mind as Jesus. obviously these ladies are not on the same page. There's something going on. And before I even go any further, to get the full picture of what God wants to give us today, we need to realize whose words these really are, whose advice this really is. So I encourage you guys, you can keep your fingers in the book of Philippians if you want, or tag it with your bulletin, because we're coming back, but go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is what we're going to read. This is one of my favorite passages, because for me it helps bring the Bible alive. I think, wow, this is good. This makes sense now. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it says, all scripture, Old and New Testament, every single passage, and it says, is given by the inspiration of God. Now, this word inspiration comes from the Greek word that I can't pronounce. And you can look it up later, but you can take my word for it that this means divinely breathed. It's like this is the breath of God. He breathed. This is God's word to us. So when Paul gives advice, it's not really Paul giving advice at all. It's God giving advice to you and me. So we need to kind of take a second and step back and say, all right, God, what are you trying to tell me? What is God trying to tell you this morning through this passage? So listen up, because it's God speaking. All right, so turn back with me to Philippians. Chapter 4. He tells these two sisters in Christ, stop your foolishness. Be of the same mind. Now, maybe there's somebody in here and you have issues with. Now, I don't know, and I kind of like that I don't know. But whatever is going on in your brain, whoever pops up in your head when somebody's like, oh, you don't like that person, or you have issues, or that person gossips and I don't like them. Whatever it is, it's hindering the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. God says, that's not okay. That's not okay. Remember that we're not here for ourselves. We're here for God. We're on a mission for him. So you and the strife that you have, get it worked out. If you need help, it says, like, brothers and sisters, help these ladies. If you need help, go to somebody else in the church. I'm struggling with this sister, this brother. Can you help me? And he will help you. But we need to get that worked out. And it's also showing how amazing God is. Because God isn't saying, like, I want you to struggle and find this really difficult to be of the same mind with everybody. The reason why he has us challenged with the fact of being of the same mind is because of the fact that he wants to come soon. And if we're so worried about each other's issues in the church, we're not going to be able to show God's love like we're supposed to. If you look down at verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. It says, let your gentleness. This is one of the fruits of the Spirit. He says, let me live through you. Let your gentleness be made known. I want people to see me living in you. And that'll draw people into the church. But if we don't even have it right in the church... and it says the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. Soon and very soon, he is coming back. That's exciting. That's wonderful. Are you going to be ready for it? Or do you just think you're going to be ready? I don't know. But one thing I do know is that he is coming back soon. And if our thoughts were on that fact all the time, do you think that you would act differently? If you were constantly thinking, Jesus is coming back soon, would you not be so anxious and worried about stuff? Oh yeah, this situation just happened, but God's going to handle it. God's coming back. Why am I worried? Don't you think that you would be a little less worried if you relied on God a lot more? I mean, look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. I mean, Paul sounds pretty happy, and if anybody had something to worry about, it would be Paul. You know, he's in prison right now. He has reason to worry. He has a good excuse to worry. And he's just praising God. Where do you think his mind was? Well, I mean, in the sermon last week, they talked about citizenship of heaven. That's where your mind is. You have your green card. This isn't my home. I'm going home. We're just passing through. That's what God tells us. You're just passing through. So when we get down to verse 6 and 7, it makes sense. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he starts out, be anxious for nothing. He doesn't even give us a chance to, like, there's an exception to the rule. No. For nothing. You have no reason why you need to be anxious. So remember how we just came from 2 Timothy and it talked about this is God's advice? These are God's words. So the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who knows the end from the beginning, tells us, do not be worried about anything. Bring everything to me. Everything to me. So he says, do not worry. All right. Easier said than done, correct? So what have you been worried about? You've been worried about food, some of you? How am I going to get food on the table? How am I going to pay my child's school bill or bills in general, my rent? How many of you are concerned about maybe even your own salvation? Where am I with God? It doesn't even really surprise me that when you talk to fellow Christians, how do you feel? Do you feel like you're going to heaven? The response is pretty sad. I don't know. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be boastful or anything and act holier than thou, but at the same time, there's more than 2,000 promises in the Bible for you to claim. So if you ask God to do the good work in you, he says, I'm the one to complete it. It says that in Philippians 1:6. You know, he who began the good work will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's another passage in Scripture in Matthew. So we'll turn there. Matthew 6. We're not going to read the whole thing, although the whole thing is good and it is a huge blessing to read. We're going to actually read one verse, Matthew chapter 6. All right, we're going to read verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? I have a question. Have any of you guys heard of somebody worrying a lot and they became really tall? I haven't. And if anybody was going to be a giant, it would be me. I have, like, the biggest worry wart ever. I would be really tall if it added something to height, but it doesn't. If anything, worrying makes you shorter because you start slouching over because you're carrying this big burden that you can't handle. Makes you shorter. So why do you think God says, do not be anxious about anything. Flipping back to Philippians chapter 4. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants to be close to you. So if worrying doesn't help you, what does? I mean, that's kind of our natural reaction. When something happens, we automatically start to worry. It's flesh. But we're supposed to live in the spirit. So what happens when things happen? If we're trying to live in the spirit, what do we go to? Then we start to pray. Prayer does something. That's why it says don't worry, but then it gives you something to do instead. It doesn't say, oh, don't worry. No, it gives you something else to do. It says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So if it's your finances, your relationship, your salvation, God says, I have it covered. I have it covered. Bring it to me. Tell God what's on your heart. If you're angry, then be angry, but bring it to God in prayer. If you're depressed, then with tears, bring it before God. If you're happy, then smile and pray like you're happy. He's a friend. He wants to talk with you. So he says, bring it before me in prayer. And this isn't really for him to know what's going on, right? He already knows everything that's going on. He says he knows the end from the beginning. He knows every single problem that's in your lives. And he says, don't worry. Bring it before me. Well, why do I need to bring it before you? You already know. The reason why he tells us to bring it before him is because it's good for us. He's all about us, which is pretty mind-boggling, I think. Like, he cares so much about me that he says, for your own health, Andrea, I want you to come and tell me what's going on. Tell me how you feel about it. Let me work it out. Leave it in my hands. Not only is it good for that, but it's also inviting him to work in the circumstances at hand. That's why the book of Revelation kind of gives that picture. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with thee. Okay, why is he knocking? Isn't he the Lord of the universe? Why doesn't he just walk in? He owns the place twice. Created us and brought us back with salvation. We're twice paid for. And he says, I stand. I want to be invited into the situation to work. God is a gentleman. He doesn't just jump in. And then he wants to grow your faith through this experience. Because when we acknowledge that it's Christ working the situation out, do you know how good that feels? Oh, Lord, you are amazing. I remember when I was starting Bible work in Sonora, before I got there, they told me, hey, Andrea, would you like to be a Bible worker intern for the next year? And I thought about it, and I was like, well, Lord, you know, sure, I'll wait on school. Why not? I feel like you're calling me to do this. And went home to Washington because I had ended a Rise Institute for Soul Winning Evangelism. Went home for Christmas break and was planning on going back January 1st to Sonora. And we were talking on the phone. I was talking to the one in charge that was kind of leading this out. And he goes, hey, I forgot to tell you while you were here, but you're going to need a car. You have a car, right? And I thought, like, what? No, I don't have a car. I was like, I'm broke. And he goes, well, you're going to need a car to do Bible work here. And he goes, but don't worry about it. God will provide a car if you're meant to come. Don't worry about it. Ha, fat chance. And then on top of that, he goes, just bring it before the Lord. If he wants you here, a car will come. Okay. So I started praying. And this doesn't feel good for me. Like, I don't like telling God what he needs to do. And so I get down, and I hear these people have told me before, like, when you're going to pray for something, like, pray really specific prayers that when they're answered, then you can praise and bring glory to God's name. And I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But I started doing it anyways. And so I'd get down on my knees and I just, dear Lord, please help me. You know, please provide this car for me. And I said, okay, I'm not going to ask for a Mercedes because I feel like that's a little stretch. But Lord, you know, they're only going to be giving me $360 a month, and that's not much to live on. And I said, if you could pay the car insurance, and I had gotten in a wreck, so I wasn't looking forward to my car insurance. And I said, if you would pay the car insurance, I'll know that this is from you. And it had been a month, and I got another offer, and I was going to go there instead, and then that fell through, and I called the person in charge, Matt Parr, and I go, obviously, this isn't God's will for me to go. And he goes, actually, Andrew, I've been meaning to call you. Would have been nice if he called me a few weeks ago when he found out. But he goes, oh, I've been meaning to call you. The Bible worker that was here, John Holland, who I knew, decided to donate his car to you for the next year, and he's moving back to Texas, and then it'll be donated to Arise after your year of Bible work. I'm like, oh, right, sure. So I prayed about it some more. Lord, is this what you want? I felt kind of, I don't know. But I felt peace. I felt like, you should go, Andrea. You should go. Even though everything's not perfect, just go anyways. And so I was like, okay. Totally had forgotten about my prayer earlier that month. Like, Lord, I want you to cover the insurance and all of this to know that it's from you. And I got there, and I still wasn't sure if this was exactly where God wanted me. And we sit down, and I'm talking to Matt about this whole situation. And he goes, Andrea, I forgot to tell you on the phone, but because John has decided to donate his car to Arise afterwards, they're going to pay the insurance on the car, and they're going to also pay for any maintenance that's needed on the car. And I was just, I almost started crying in front of him. I was like, God just answered my prayer. Something that I was worried about, I placed before him, and he answered it. And I am so thankful that the Lord answered that prayer. So don't worry. Prayer does something. That's what we need to be doing, is praying. And then it says something will happen. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it says, after you present this before God, it's not just any old ordinary peace that you get. You get God's peace. And that is better than any peace. It doesn't mean that the circumstance is going to be fixed like that. Because I've had times where it's not fixed right away, but the peace that he gives us to let us know that I'm going to hold you through this trial, I'm going to get you through, is enough for us. In John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God says, when you get my peace, you don't need to be afraid, you don't need to be worried, you don't need to be anxious. You need to rest in the fact that I'm taking care of it. So perhaps for the last few days, months, or dare I even say years, you've been worried about something. Worried about your finances, worried about your relationships, worried about your salvation. Where am I with God? It's time to place your worried, fearful heart in the hands of God, who knows everything, who wants to handle your situation, who can work it out better than anybody else I know. There's a quote from Ellen White that says, "Now do not worry yourselves out of the arms of the dear Savior, but rest trustfully in faith. He loves you. He cares for you. He is blessing you and will give you his peace and grace. Gather to your soul the sweet promises of God. Jesus is our constant, unfailing friend. He wants you to trust him. Pray, 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 and watch God work, work, work. I heard something this week that I think a lot of us, well, I posted it on Facebook right when I heard it. I was like, this is too good to keep to myself. So I put it on Facebook, and I got a lot of likes on this. And what it is it says this, and it fits right in. It says, if we prayed as much as we worried, we would have a lot less to worry about. Let me say it one more time. If we prayed as much as we worried, we would have a lot less to worry about. God wants to give each and every one of us that peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not just for one of us, it's for all of us. He's offering it to us. He's offering to take care of your situation, to take care of your worried heart. Now, since worrying does no good, are you ready to let God handle it? I invite you guys and everyone, even the ones via Skype, to just close your eyes for a moment. Close your eyes and picture yourself before the Lord. Now, everybody's picture is going to be different. I picture a throne. I picture kneeling down and casting my crown before his feet. But now I want you to say something in your mind to him. I want you to say whatever you've been worried about. If it's bills, if it's finances, if it's relationships, if it's your heart breaking, tell him what it is right now and leave it with him. Leave it in the arms of God, who holds the whole world, who created you, who knows your problems and trials, and who has the ability to fix any problem. All right, go ahead and open your eyes. Leave it before the feet of Jesus. He is good. He will work everything out. And we're not staying here. We're going home, and that's where our eyes need to be.
Were you blessed this morning? Amen. Amen. I was blessed. I'd like to invite our deacons to come forward. It's our time.